This is the Jeff Merrick Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
So one of the things that I always enjoy about the Stanley Cup playoffs, and welcome to the Merrick Show here across the Sportsnet Radio Network, simulcast on 360, and wherever you get your podcast. And for anyone that's having a hard time with Apple, we hear you and we're working on it. Everybody else, welcome. One of the things that I love every year about the Stanley Cup playoffs are those rare moments that you thought you perhaps would never see, so much so that obviously you never thought about them. And they lead you to going back into history and reminding yourself of names from the past. Today, we're going to have the conversation about Mikko Leinonen. See Matt Marchese across from me. It's like I'm just trying. It's like I just showed my dog a card trick. Mikko Leinonen, Matt Marchese. No. Don't go to the Google machine as you're doing right now. No. We're going to have that conversation coming up with Elliot Friedman in a couple of moments and why he is an important figure in the NHL today. Also, how about that weird sequence last night in the Carolina Hurricanes, New York Islanders game? Maddie, I want your thoughts on this one, where the New York Islanders thought they were home and cooled and tucked away, even though the Carolina Hurricanes really had that game for three periods. With all due respect, Islanders fans, and yes, we love you. Islanders are up 3-0, and then that gets evaporated in a really bizarre chain of events where the New York Islanders went from playing 5-on-6, trying to shut down a game, go back with a split, to being tied, to being 6-on-5 themselves, to going into full meltdown mode, all within 60 seconds. Matt Marchese, do you have a quick thought before we get to Elliot Friedman here in a couple of moments on what we saw in the Carolina New York Islanders days? And here's the other question. Why Stefan Nason? Why did the Islanders go banana sandwich on Stefan Nason last night?
Yeah, if you're going to go do something, like do it again, and no disrespect to, I feel like I'm saying a lot, no disrespect, but Stefan Nason is not the guy that's going to make or break the series.
Well, he did fight McLean and did quite well.
Great.
Although it's not a size mismatch, and both guys agreed, he did kind of handle the kid.
Yeah, great. I mean, go after somebody of consequence, please. Right. Here's what I will tell you. When that was all happening, I was hoping for no overtime in that game because I could not watch the Islanders get dominated by the Hurricanes anymore. Was that 110 shot attempts to 28?
Oh, yeah. No, it was a total tilted rig.
Yikes.
You're saying to yourself, okay, they're going to escape with one here. And then now we're having the questions about Varlamov and do they go back to Ilya Sorokin for game 3? We'll discuss all this with Elliot coming up in a couple of moments as well. What is it with empty netters these days? Did Morgan Rielly just open the door for everybody? You know, Morgan Rielly goes after Ridley Gregg, as we all know, the 5-game suspension. We used up a lot of hockey oxygen talking about that.
The oxygen?
Oxygen. That's a pretty good one. Used up a lot of hockey oxygen talking about that one. And then we saw towards the end of the season, Brady Tkachuk do essentially the same thing or something similar.
No, God, how dare you
Nico
suggest?
Hischier. Now, Hischier didn't take a slap shot. He just slid the puck into the Ottawa Senators' net after regulation. But still,
same thing.
Brady Tkachuk, you can't do that. And then the superiority card left the Ottawa Senators and will no longer be able to talk about Morgan Rielly with any sort of moral superiority. But nonetheless, and then last night, Brock Nelson goes at Jake Guentzel. Like, it wasn't like Guentzel took a slap shot or he put the puck in after time had expired. He just shot the puck into an empty net.
And he fist pumped a win.
And Brock Nelson lost his mind about it. And then Kyle Palmieri lost his mind about it. Now, Brock Nelson kept chopping and whacking at Guentzel even before the empty netter. But what's with guys now? Like, somehow you think you have a free pass to attack someone after scoring an empty net goal. Like, this is some type of brand new line in hockey that you're not allowed to cross. Ooh, he scored an empty net goal. Let's attack. Morgan Rielly, Brady Tkachuk, Brock Nelson.
Two of these are not like the other, in my opinion.
Okay.
The Hischier one and Greg one are totally different.
They are completely different.
They are egregious, whatever. Yesterday was literally Jake Guentzel just tucking a puck into an empty net. Yeah. What else do you want him to do? Honestly, what? You want him to not score? You know how you get him to not score? Be better.
It was the Islanders in meltdown. It was the Islanders in meltdown mode yesterday.
Okay, yeah, so spin cycle.
That's that's one of the four games from last night. The Maple Leafs get a split with the Boston Bruins. You know, Elliot, when we drill down on this one a little bit more, on TV last night, Elliot mentioned that this was, in his estimation, the best game that Austin Matthews has ever played in the NHL. And just so we're on the same page here, the stat line for Austin Matthews last night, 1 goal, 2 assists, 3 points, a +2, 23-24 of ice time, 8 shots, 70% at the faceoff circle, and 6 hits.
And saved a goal at the end.
And that might have been the best part
yep.
of Austin Matthews' performance. Saved one at the end. So the Maple Leafs jump back into the series without William Nylander, and that question still hangs out there. How many times have you been asked, hey, you work in media, what's up with William Nylander?
Every hour.
Nobody
and
knows.
And the response is, I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen something so secretive.
Well, and compounding it is, we've seen him skate.
Yeah.
Like, you start to sort of check off the boxes here. Like, is it a back injury? Well, you've seen him skate. Is it a concussion? No, we've seen him skate. Is it shoulder? Is it, I don't know.
He woke up with something. That's what the weird thing is. I've never seen anything like this. But if I had said to Leaf fans, all the crazies out there
yeah.
that are, you know, back on the train, you got a split in Boston without William Nylander, you should be doing cartwheels.
Yeah.
Big time.
Matthew's great in that one. We'll get Elliot's thoughts on his best performance ever. Also, Ilya Samsonov was outstanding. But you know what? We spent a lot of time yesterday, and it started off, you know, talking with Andrew Raycroft, and he was the first one to put out there, I think it's going to be Linus Ullmark.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of went, huh?
Yeah, row, Shaggy.
Yeah, right? It was Scooby-Doo all over again. And it turns into be Linus Ullmark. I thought that was a bad move. I'm like, Swayman looks so good on Saturday. I know you feel you messed up last year in the not going to the rotation against the Florida Panthers. Don't galaxy brain this thing.
Weren't they up 3-1?
Ullmark was excellent. Yeah, and Brad Marchand misses that breakaway.
Yeah, I don't think it was on the goalie.
Everything would have been different. I wouldn't pin the whole thing on the goaltender. But nonetheless, they felt that was one of their strengths, was the rotation between the two, and they wanted to make sure that they had it here. I'm sure that was the agreement going in to this series that Jim
no surprises.
Like, here's the way it's going to go here. But nonetheless, Ullmark was excellent.
Yeah, he wasn't the problem.
Ullmark was really good, man.
He looked less comfortable than Swayman did, I thought, on Saturday.
Yeah.
But he was far from the issue last night. The power play wasn't as good. And the Leafs, Leafs did them a lot of favors, taking a lot of dumb penalties.
That is very true. Also last night, the Dallas Stars, much made about the Dallas Stars. They surrender goal 1 to Mark Stone.
Ooh.
Okay, I will say one thing about this.
Can't write that.
I know. And listen, Stone, Kucherov, Kane, these are all Exhibit A, Exhibit B, Exhibit C, Your Honor, when it comes to alleged cap circumvention here. The interesting thing about this is I don't know many players outside of superstars, Kucherov, Kane, and now Mark Stone, who can just jump back into the lineup like that and perform. The one thing we tend to forget about all of this conversation is the Vegas Golden Knights, say however you feel or what you believe about what happened. The guy had a lacerated spleen. Could he have played game 82? Maybe. I don't know. I'm not there. I'm not a doctor. I'm not embedded with the team. They had to play without Mark Stone, and Mark Stone couldn't play. And then just to jump into game 83 the way that Mark Stone did, first of all, if you think that they're playing around with the cap this way, that's a huge gamble.
Sure it is.
That is a massive gamble you take.
And they've done it twice.
And then, for Stone to jump back in like that and score right off the bat, first of all, it's poetry. It's red meat for all the haters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That was a game that Dallas probably should have won. I know that, you know, score effects became an issue in the third period. But still, that was one that Dallas squandered. But that's why the Vegas Golden Knights are defending Stanley Cup champions. With that, we'll bring aboard Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in Canada and 32 Thoughts. Hello, Elliot.
Hello, guys. Okay. Sorry, Jeff. I was a bit late, but I had to buy tulips and kale.
Sorry, you had to buy tulips and kale?
Yes.
Is it a birthday today?
No, it's... I don't know. I guess it must be something for that serving up staff is doing for Passover, and she's giving gifts. I have no idea.
Oh, that's right. And to all of our Jewish friends, we wish everybody a happy Passover, and that includes you, Elliot.
But
and
I
got to
tell you something. I got to tell you, as a guy who only eats lettuce, like you are, I never knew that there were so many different kinds of kale.
Oh, what kind?
There's red kale. There's black kale. There's regular kale.
Yes.
Like I had to buy a specific kind of kale. Who knew that there was this much kale?
Elliot, halfway through his life, discovers kale. I love this moment. I absolutely love this moment. I'll tell you what. So I wanted to get to this with you because I know the one player I'm going to reference here in a second, you absolutely adore. I mentioned three of the four series before you came on, so I want to jump in with you. Before we get to Lindy Ruff, for example, and I do want to get your thoughts on the Ryan Smith interview that we did that came out this morning. I want to get your thoughts on Edmonton and Los Angeles last night. Connor McDavid with five assists last night. Yeah. Another command performance from McDavid. This is a recording. So he becomes, he shares a spot now with, you know, second overall, most assists in a playoff game. He shares number two, five assists with, you know, Patrick Sundstrom and Jeff Cortinel, et cetera. But there are two that are number one. Number one is obviously Wayne Gretzky with six assists, and also tied with Wayne Gretzky for six assists is Mikko Leinonen. Is that a name you remember from the Rangers in the early 80s? Mikko Leinonen.
You know, I wouldn't be able to tell you much about him, but I absolutely remember him until last night, Jeff.
Yeah.
I had forgotten that he had that record. But when McDavid got the fifth one, you immediately start looking and you say, what's the record here? And you're looking like Mikko Leinonen. Holy smokes. Like, nobody would have thought about that. But I do remember him. And, you know, obviously, when you think of the Finns that first came over, one of the first guys that jumps into my mind was another Oiler, Matty Hagman.
Yep.
But Leinonen was one of the first who really came and made an impact at that point in the NHL's history. I remember him, just don't remember much about him.
Okay, so here's something that I want to stick in your brain because I know how you love things like this about Rayo Ruotsalainen. So Leinonen was originally brought over when the Rangers brought Rayo Ruotsalainen over to play for him. This is before the Oilers would, you know, hide him away in Europe for all season and bring him out for the playoffs. So Ruotsalainen,
if you hate waivers, it's all his fault.
Correct. That's why we have them. He was brought over as an interpreter for Rayo Ruotsalainen. Like that's it. He was a decent player. He was 26 years old when he came over. But he was Rayo Ruotsalainen. He was a decent player. I mean, he wasn't a superstar by any stretch. He has a superstar record that he shares with Wayne Gretzky. But he was Ruotsalainen's interpreter. And now, Elliot, you are richer for having learned that today. And Kale. Kale and Rayo Ruotsalainen stories.
Super nerd Jeff Merrick saves the world again. Very good. I like that.
I assure you, Elliot, stuff like this kept me single for a lot of years. Zach Hyman with the hat trick last night, Connor McDavid doing Connor McDavid things. What did you take away from this one?
Well, you know, the one thing about McDavid is he has a really interesting thing about him, and is that whenever he gets close to a record, it's almost like he pulls the chute if the game is not close.
Yes.
Because how many times have we looked at him and he's like at 6 points after two periods, you're like, okay,
Darryl,
tonight's the night that Sittler goes down, and he just is like, we're winning 8-2, I'm not interested. Like, last night, he has the five assists, he can tie it, he had a really good rush, and he shot it, and I was kind of like, you know, it's a playoff game, it's 6-2 or whatever it is at the time, and it's almost like I'm not record chasing. I kind of like that about him, but, you know, I listened to what the Kings said after the game, Jim Hiller, Drew Doughty, a couple of their guys, and they were right. Like, you, what's the number one thing you have to do well against the Oilers is rush defense.
Yeah.
And right from the moment that game started, they were storming up the ice against them. Mm-hmm. They could, you know, Dreisaitl had a big rush early. McDavid, you could tell, was really engaged early. You wouldn't expect any different. But the Kings had no answer for them. And when it was 4-0, even when they got it to 4-2, you're sitting there and saying, are they really going to be able to win a 5-4, 6-5 game with these guys? And, you know, we've seen the Kings lock it down before when in these playoff series when Edmonton's erupted on them early. But this is why it's such a tall order. They cannot play track meets with these guys. Like, some nobody wants to. Some teams can if they have to,
The Kings cannot do that. They can't.
No, they can't. They don't have the firepower. Zach Hyman with the hat trick in this one because that's the kind of season that Zach Hyman is having. Yep. And Evan Bouchard with four assists himself, and now him and Connor McDavid sit 1-2 in scoring in the NHL. Elsewhere around the NHL, you mentioned on TV last night something that was pretty interesting, and that's rare.
I know this is good.
In your corner, buddy. The best game that Austin Matthews has ever played was last night. The stat line, 1 goal, 2 assists, 3 points, 23 minutes of ice time, just over. 8 shots, 6 hits, 70% at the faceoff dot, and he saved a goal. Best game for Austin Matthews' career, you maintain, yes.
Yeah, I do. And the last I checked, and sometimes they update these after the game is over, but I checked the game over line, and I didn't check the Bruins, but for the Maple Leafs, he played more than anybody else, like even Riley.
Yes.
That's really something. And look, we all know Austin Matthews can score. It's not a news bulletin. We all know that. But everybody's always talking about where's the more well-rounded game. And the people in the organization have said for some time, he is a better all-around player than he gets credit for.
Yep.
You know, I don't know if he was on your Selke ballot this year.
He was on
mine. Not that high, but he was on mine. But mm-hmm. that game last night, he dominated. And it wasn't just the scoring. He absolutely dominated it. I thought, and I stand by that. I think top to bottom, you know, aside from the game where he's scoring 4 goals or doing whatever he's doing, magic, I thought, especially in the circumstances, down 1-0 and absolutely had to win, I thought it was an incredible performance, the best I've ever seen. And, you know, the other thing I would say about Toronto last night, Jeff, is I would bet any Leaf fan, if they're being honest, after that breakdown at the end of the first period, the Leaf fans thought they were going to lose 6-2.
Oh, yes.
Everybody going into that intermission was like, Leafs are doomed. And to their credit, they pulled themselves back together and found a way to win that game.
Well, the interesting part about that, too, is, you know, that whole sequence was where David Pastrnak scored that goal. That's all set up with Ilya Samsonov fiddling around, being very casual, kind of lazy with the puck. That led to the goal because the puck essentially stayed in the zone. And I wanted to get there. Samsonov's bounce back from what we saw on Saturday to what we saw yesterday, even to what we saw in game. Again, I'll come back to that Samsonov play with the puck. Like that, I'll pin most of that, keeping the puck hot in the Toronto Maple Leaf zone. And David Pastrnak scores right before the end of the period buzzer. A lot of that one's on Samsonov. Other goaltenders, and even him himself, at different parts of his career, and I include this season very much, would have melted down, would have caved in. He didn't. Your thoughts on the Maple Leafs goalie?
Well, I generally agree with you. He kept them in and won the game last night.
Yep.
You know, Allmark was really good, so he had to beat a Vezina Trophy quality goaltender, and he did that. Interestingly enough, though, Bieksa did not blame Samsonov as much as he blamed Liljegren. He said Liljegren gave Edmonton a pass he couldn't handle.
Mm.
And he felt, you know, I know that we both know more about hockey than Bieksa, but generally, if Kevin feels really strong, if someone played in the NHL feels really strongly about something, I generally tend to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
But he felt that even though Samsonov could have frozen it, he felt the pass was the bigger problem. But look, like Samsonov won the game and beat a very good Allmark. That's not an insignificant thing.
How many times have you been asked, because Matt and I were just throwing this around, I mean, it's in double digits. For you, it might be triple digits. How many times have you been asked what's wrong with William Nylander?
A lot. And we talked about it at the beginning of the game last night.
Yep.
I don't believe the Maple Leafs have handled this very well. I understand playoff gamesmanship. It doesn't bother me when teams don't name their starting goalies. Like, you know, the way I look at it is teams can do what they want. We're all still going to do our jobs. And on some level, I do think it's kind of funny. But I think they have allowed this to become bigger than it needs to be, because all of the secrecy here is what it's led to is, oh, Nylander's not injured. He's suspended.
Of course.
He's been suspended for disciplinary reasons. And first of all, I don't believe that to be true. Even if I did potentially for one game, I mean, what are you going to do that's going to get you suspended for two games of the playoffs? So, I don't believe that. But, you look at what, like, for example, look at Colorado. They've come out and said, Landeskog, it's going to still be a little bit here.
Yep.
Tampa Bay, Sergachev, I know he's in white, he's in the regular colored jersey, but it's still going to be a little bit of time here. Like, you recognize everybody lies and everybody fudges with the truth.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I get it. But I do think the way they kind of handled this at the beginning made it a bigger issue than it needed to be.
The thing, it feels that way to me. The problem is, and where I sort of pull up and say, I'm not so sure about that, is we don't know what this is, so I don't know if they're handling it poorly or not. You know what I mean? Like, it might be that he's close, and I don't know. Like, I know that it makes for a bad talk radio. It makes for a boring Twitter feed. I get all that, but I can't hot take this one. Okay, because I don't know. You don't know. Nobody knows outside of the people directly involved. So I don't know if they're mishandling it.
You know what? I don't necessarily think they're mishandling the. Well, I get what you're saying. I'm just saying that, I was talking about this with another GM before the end of the season. He's like, I get it. Nature abhors a vacuum, and you can't always play into it. But I've heard the same things everybody else has, that the day after game 82, he wasn't feeling right, okay? Mm-hmm. But they haven't come out and said that. All they've come out and said is, no, we're not talking about anything. Nobody else, the Maple Leafs have a bit of a thing that nobody else talks about anything, so why should we? And that's fine. Yeah. If you want to do that, you can do that. But now look what you get. You get Nylander is suspended, or Nylander is a victim of a disciplinary issue.
Yeah.
Like Jeff, we all know there's going to, like, you can't answer everything, but you can also avoid walking yourself into problems. That's kind of the way I look at things.
True.
So I feel in this case, if they were a bit more definitive, I think things would have calmed down.
I also know that every team would answer this question the same way, and that the question is this: would you lie if it helped your team win the Stanley Cup? And the answer coming from everybody is yes, of course.
100%.
Okay.
Yeah, I get it.
Let me ask you about, I don't know why I'm so fixated and fascinated with this, with the entire closing sequence of the Carolina-New York Islanders game. Now, by the way, we saw one of the rarest things in hockey. Now, one of the rarest things in hockey is the goalie goal, right? We saw something last night that happens that's even more rare than a goalie goal. And that is,
we were wondering about this, like, how often, like, the two teams with the empty nets.
Yes. You never see that. Both teams had to pull their goaltender for the extra attacker, starting with Carolina.
Yeah.
Like, the way that I sort of phrase this here is, we went from the Islanders playing 5-on-6 to the Islanders tied, to the Islanders playing 6-on-5 to tie it, to the Islanders going in full meltdown mode at the end of the game over Jake Guentzel, over Steph Nason as well with Matt Martin. Like, it was, like, all this is within, like, what, Friedge? 60 seconds? 90 seconds?
Yeah.
We had the two goals, Aho and Martinuk, like, 9 seconds apart. It was one of the most bizarre things I've seen in the playoffs since I started watching hockey, Friedge. Bizarre.
Yeah, it was, I mean, that was a wild game. That was I didn't realize, obviously I'm watching Toronto-Boston more because that's the game that we're, but I didn't realize the shot total. Like, what was the attempts? Was 110 to 28?
The attempts were insane.
that's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you never see that. A couple of things. Number one, I wonder now if they go back to Sorokin.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like it's Varlamov's fault and he saved their season. He absolutely saved their season. But I do wonder if we see Sorokin now.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is that this, like, generally, I think that this whole scoring on the empty net thing is hilarious. But I don't understand why. I guess Brock Nelson was just frustrated, but you can't blame Gensel for like, he had to beat somebody. Like, there was an Islander defender there who had an angle to block a shot. Like, that was a pure hockey play. That wasn't, Ridley Gregg winding up from 2 feet away. That was a legitimate play.
Yes, and this wasn't Nico Hischier sliding the puck in the Ottawa net after the final horn and Tkachuk going all after him. The thing about it with Brock Nelson was, if you watch the play, Nelson's whacking him all the way. This is just a continuation. He's just like, if I'm going to hit him once, I'm going to hit him 10 times. Like, again, it was a meltdown. It's dumb. But, what's the one thing that we haven't seen up until last night in these playoffs? Something dumb. There's Matt Martin jumping Steph Nason. Like, here we go. Now we finally got hockey dumb into the playoffs. So now it's a little bit more well-rounded. Let me finish
up. That really wasn't that dumb, though. There could be a lot more dumb.
Trust me. But listen.
Mild.
You know Patrick Waugh. Like, in those final moments and he's throwing meat over the boards, like, oh, okay, Patrick. Like, I know, like, this is... We shouldn't be surprised. He's done it in the NHL. He did it with the Ramparts in the queue as well. The game's out of hand here. We're just going to throw some meat over the boards, and we're going to see what happens. Off the ice yesterday, want to get your thoughts on this one. Lindy Ruff gets hired as the head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. As Lance Lisowski mentioned from the Buffalo News, it is a two-year contract. So for those that think that, the head coach of the Rochester Americans, Seth Appert, might be the long-term coach, maybe this gives you a little bit of hope. But Lindy Ruff gets hired. It very much feels like a combination. Terry Pegula, Kevin Adams move. Kevin was on the bench with Lindy Ruff for a couple of seasons with the Buffalo Sabres. We've talked about his name as well. We wondered about Craig Berube. What did you think of this hire with the Swords?
Well, I mean, we'll hear more. I guess they're meeting with the media in about half an hour. But it's very clear, Jeff, that this was a targeted hire.
Yeah.
That Kevin Adams, because one of the things when we reported yesterday, I had a bunch of people reach out saying, like, are you serious? And I go, I sure hope so, because I put it out there. And really, I don't think the Sabres, I don't think the Sabres really contacted anybody. Or if they did, it was very minimal, it definitely didn't go down a process.
Right.
It was very clear that Kevin Adams made the change, and the change was going to be Lindy Ruff right from the moment that it happened. And, the thing I think here is there's a couple of things. Number one, Kevin Adams knows this might be his last hire. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I really believe, and I always remember talking to Dean Lombardi about it when he rehired Daryl Sutter, it's like, if you know you're going down, or potentially going down,
right,
you're gonna go down with the person who you think you know best. And so I'm not that surprised at that. Number two, I think the other thing about this is I don't think this is insignificant, and that is Ruff's love for the Sabres.
Sure.
The Sabres they've got the longest playoff drought in the NHL. They've got a fantastic fan base that is furious with the organization. Mm-hmm. Some of them really love Ruff, but they know that Ruff really loves the market. I don't think that's insignificant there. Overall, Lindy Ruff went from a guy who had 110 points 2 years ago and won a playoff round to a guy this year who was suddenly one of the dumbest people on the planet. Like, it's not that simple.
Yeah.
I think that
I do think there's a good coach there. I think in New Jersey, if there was an issue, I've been told it's that maybe he was tougher on some guys than others. But he can be very tough. Like the Sabres talked a big game about they need a coach who can be hard on them.
Yep.
And he can be that guy. Like I've heard he basically only has like three rules. Like that's what one of the people in New Jersey told me is that basically Ruff has three rules. One, be a decent person. Two, be on time. And three, play hard. But if you cross those rules, you know, he'll let you know. But, you know, I think it's very clear to me that they are tapping into a person who's incredibly passionate about the market. And Kevin Adams, who knows that this may be his last hire, is saying, if this is going to be it for me, it's going to be it with someone I know.
And listen, maybe it's just because of the obvious history, but I can't help but thinking as well, considering it's a former Buffalo Sabres coach, a much beloved Buffalo Sabres coach, how much do you think the owner had his hand on the wheel here for the hire?
I'm sure he did. I have no doubt. You know, Kevin Adams is very tight with the Pegulas.
Yep.
And I have no doubt that they fired a coach who got an extension that hasn't even taken hold of yet.
Yep.
You don't think the owner is going to be weighing in on that?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Okay, so another day of playoffs are in the books, and a pretty intriguing one as well. Thanks as always, Fried. You enjoy the rest of your day, and I encourage everybody to listen to the interview that just came out, 32 Thoughts Podcast interview with Ryan Smith, the owner of NHL Utah. Thanks, Fried. You be good.
All right, you take care, man.